As you can see, there's an army rising up. Hallelujah, to break every chain. I want to turn to Ezekiel 37, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses. Craig. Okay. Ezekiel 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me to and fro among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, Prophesy to these bones and say to them, Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. This is a very graphic picture of a valley full of dry bones. Dry, disconnected, old, and useless, or so it would seem, but not to the Lord. And as the prophet prophesies over them, most of the prophecy is fulfilled. There's a rattling, there's a shaking, and the bones come together from every part of the valley, and they begin to fit together, and bodies are formed, but there's one very important aspect missing. There's no breath. They look good on the outside, but on the inside, there is nothing. There is no life, no spirit, or as the Hebrew for that word is ruach, no ruach, which means wind, breath, spirit. And I was meditating on this picture, and I was thinking maybe to some extent it could be a picture of the church in the West in general terms, looking good on the outside, but something very important and significant is lacking and is missing on the inside. That breath of God, that wind of the Spirit, that power of the Lord. Now in that prophecy, the coming together and the connecting is very important. People finding their place, people finding their gift and ministry. Maybe the tendons speak of those vital relationships which we all need with each other, which join us together. Maybe to some extent we could think of the skin which covers the vision, the purpose, the plan, the purpose that God has for us together as a people. But without the dynamic of the Holy Spirit, we can be filled with excitement. We can be excited about the dream of God and the vision of God. But without that dynamic of the Holy Spirit, we will never fulfill that which God has called us to. And from this picture here, we will never be the army of the Lord, which he wants to raise up. Let's make sure we don't settle for life without his Spirit. If we do, all God's dreams and our dreams will remain just that, a dream out there in the distance. I was talking to some pastors just earlier on this week, and I wasn't talking on this passage, but I mentioned about dreams and vision, and I said to them, if we can complete that dream and that vision in our own strength, we are well short of God's dream and God's plan and purpose. Because it's going to take that supernatural dimension, that life in the Spirit, for us to really accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish. We can do a lot of good stuff in our own strength, But that is well short of what God wants us to do. He's looking way beyond. We will need that supernatural touch of God. And Ezekiel didn't settle for what he saw. He didn't settle for that form on that valley floor. He could see there was no life, and so he prophesied a second time. He could have argued with himself, well, I've already prophesied. 80% of it has all happened. Why didn't the rest happen? Because he was prophesied breath in the first place. But for whatever reason, it didn't happen. But he knew it was significant. And so he prophesied again the second time. And scripture says breath came on them. The Spirit of God came upon those bodies. And then they rose up as a mighty army. Hallelujah. Now, I know we are a charismatic church. I know many of us have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I know many of us speak in tongues and prophesy from time to time. By the way, it should be all. That's the intention, that's New Covenant. It's all flesh being filled with the Holy Spirit, all flesh prophesying and moving in the gifts of the Spirit, but that's another thing. But I know many of us do. And I know we experience his love and his favor. And I know from time to time we see miracles and we see healings. And we're grateful for every manifestation of God, are we not? Yes. But I can't help thinking, church, there has to be more. There has to be more. It doesn't feel always like we're an army. I don't know whether you agree. I don't want to put us down because I am so grateful for what the Lord has done. I'm grateful for the sense of his presence. I loved what Jackie shared. You know, the Lord would say, oh, hold on a moment. LifeSpring are stirring again. Because I love to worship. We love to worship. It's in our DNA. And we love to attract his presence among us. And I'm grateful that he comes. I'm thrilled that he's entrusted us with that massive building down the Oxford Road, which he intends to fill. I love the vision that he's given us as a church. I'd never go back to where we were before. I'd never want to do that again. I really believe and am convicted that the church is the hope of the world. And that we're part of that. It's not LifeSpring's the hope of the world. The church, the people of God, are the hope of the world. But there's a but. And the but is, and I said this a few weeks ago, you know, when we were talking on Pentecost, the promise of the Father, it's not just an outpouring, but it's an ongoing infilling. Yes, it starts with that outpouring. But if we limit the promise of the Father to 30th of August 1976, when you were baptized in the Holy Spirit, we completely missed it. That was an outpouring to release us and bring us into fellowship and life in the Holy Spirit that we might be a supernatural people. It was never meant to be a historical experience, but an experience that ushers in the life and the Spirit of God. He doesn't just want to visit us. He wants to live in us tangibly, being aware of his presence, having fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This was all foreign to me until I received the Spirit. It didn't make sense. And then when he came, he brought me and he brings us into a life of the Spirit. And as we are healed and as we are made whole by the Spirit of God in us, then we can bring healing and wholeness to others too. I think many of us have settled for a type of Old Testament Christianity, a date in our diary of when we were baptized in the Spirit, or we come up for a top-up at a ministry time, or we go to a conference for a top-up. And there's nothing wrong with any of that as long as that is not the only time we're receiving. We all need times of renewal. We all need times of refreshing. I will be as hungry as anybody to receive more of the Lord when the opportunity is for prayer and ministry. But that's on top of what we should be receiving. Ongoing, daily, being filled, living in the flow of the Holy Spirit. And as we overflow at work, as we overflow at the university, his life overflowing and touching others, there will be an overflow. And we will find we have an effect because his Spirit is in us. And he's still in us. Even though I was baptized in the Spirit 10 years ago, he's still here now. Hallelujah. That's how it needs to be. And personally, one of my goals this year is to develop a closer walk with the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to consciously be more aware of His presence through the day and even through the night if I'm awake. And 2 nights ago, I was. I'd had a tricky day. Some decisions out of my control were not helping us get into the pavilion on my time scale anyhow. And it was just weighing on my mind a little bit. And in the middle of the night, I wasn't really praying. I was just mulling things over. And I was asking the Holy Spirit to sharing things with Him. And I just felt Him say, just leave it to me. I'm in control. And I thought, Holy Spirit, just take it. Just take it. If you're not stressed, I'm not going to be stressed either. And I immediately felt a release and a peace at 3 o'clock in the morning. Because I'm learning to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I could have gone through that night and woke up the next day still concerned, still this, that, and the other. But I woke up, I said, it doesn't matter. It's His problem now. I've handed it over to Him. Problem solved. He's our pastor. He will lead us. He will help us if we let Him. We need to learn to fellowship, to commune with the Holy Spirit. So He's getting us ready. And He's preparing us for more. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I was listening to the words of the song I played earlier on a few months ago. And I knew the song, you know, I'd heard it before, Break Every Chain. And I knew that first refrain, there's power in the name of Jesus. Actually, I didn't pick it up straight away to break every chain. He doesn't always sing the two so clearly. But as I heard it, I thought, yes, it's not just, Lord, there's power, break the chain. There's power to break every chain. And I was declaring it. I thought, yes, Lord, there is power in Your name. Nothing is too difficult to break every chain, every bondage, every restriction. Hallelujah. And then I listened to the next bit. And you know what? My sort of hairs on the back of my neck tingled. Because I heard there's an army rising up to break every chain. It's not just something up there in heaven. There's an army rising up to break every chain. Hallelujah. And I felt the Lord say to me, well, I'm not very good on the prophetic stuff. I felt that sense, that's what I want to do at LifeSpring. I felt the Lord say, I'm going to form LifeSpring, train LifeSpring, help each member find their place and call. I want to anoint them and fill them to be my army in the Oxford Road, to break chains of addiction, of poverty, of sickness, of loneliness and hopelessness. And I was excited, and I am now. I believe He's calling us at this time, but we need to get ready. I was wondering what the getting ready was about. I've been mulling over this. I think there's hearts that need to be prepared. There's attitudes which need to change. There's all sorts of stuff. But I think He wants to get us into a place where we can be an army, which is going to break every chain. Every chain. You see, I believe we are significant. It's okay to say that, isn't it? It's not meant to be arrogant. But I believe we are. And I believe He believes it as well. And He's chosen this little church with no trained ministers. Sorry to disappoint you. No superstars. Hidden for years in our homes and borrowed premises. Having gone through a major attack just a few years ago, which potentially could have snuffed out our dream. And yet all along He's had a plan. And it's a big plan. I believe He has called us and chosen us. And He's linked us with brothers and sisters in Reading and with other churches. And significantly with Pastor Caesar and the vision which he carries to conquer, to dream, to believe for the impossible, to impact Reading and the nations with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have spoken like this 10 years ago. In fact, we weren't even looking for a building 10 years ago. We were happy to be here. We were happy in our little houses. I don't know if we had a dream, but now we have. Now we have. Now we know he's called us. Now we know there's purpose in us coming together. And this journey is so, so important. And it's not always been easy, but it's always been good. And he's given us the best building to outwork his dream from the best location in town. That's what I believe. I don't want anything else. Everything pales into insignificance. Every church now, I don't want to go to Grey Friars. I don't want to go to St. Lawrence's. Sorry, I don't want to go to Argyle, and we've got someone from Argyle here. You know, I don't want to be at the mission. I want to be there. That's the best place for us, and God's brought that into our hands. Hallelujah. But it seems to me, certainly from this picture from Ezekiel, we're not an army, or at least not equipped, unless we're living in the power of the Holy Spirit. The picture in Ezekiel is of a people, but not an army until the Spirit came upon them. Then, and only then, were they equipped to be what God intended them to be. And it was the same with Jesus, wasn't it? After he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he returned in the power of the Spirit, Luke tells us. And Jesus proclaimed this, quoting from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." It was his kingdom manifesto. If you like, it was his declaration of war. I've come from my days of immaturity. The journey has been important for Jesus, 30 years of learning and training. Now he's filled with the Spirit, and he returns in the power of the Spirit and declares, "The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God will be breaking in." It was his kingdom manifesto. He'd come, and now he'd been anointed to break every chain because of the anointing of God on his life. And he sat there in the synagogue. I think it would have been more than hair tingling. He sat there, read this out, sat down and said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. Today, the Messiah is sitting among you." Wow, just imagine the electricity in that statement. But that's what God wants to do for us too. That we become Jesus. That we become the Messiah. That we continue the work which he started. Freedom for prisoners. Not just physical prisoners, spiritual prisoners. Those bound by addictions and wrong mindsets and strongholds. Negative mindsets. Unbelieving mindsets. Mindsets which tell us, "I'm useless. I'm a failure. I can't do it. No one loves me. I'll never be good enough. I don't fit in. I can't make it." They're all wrong, negative mindsets, which before we go out as an army, need to be broken in our lives first. Because the opposite is true. I am useful. I am a success. I can do it. Everybody loves me. Well, not if everybody, most people do. And I do fit in. We need to see that it's not just a few words to just turn it round. There's chains which bind some of us, which hold us back, because deep down we think that is true. And some of us need deliverance and ministry to come through to a place and to understand he's called us, he's chosen us, and he's come to set us free that we might set others free too. And he's come to bring recovery of sight for the blind. Not just the physically blind, but let's include them too. But it's more important, if you like, spiritually blind. Those which just cannot understand the gospel. Those which just cannot see. You will have had conversations with people. You can get into arguments. The enemy has blinded their eyes. We need to do battle on their behalf and pray against that deception and that untruth. And bring recovery of sight for the blind. Jesus came, he's calling us to set the oppressed free. every kind of oppression. Here's a few of them: insecurity, rejection, low self-esteem, fear of man, or just fear generally, every kind of oppression. The world is full of people out there who are insecure, full of people who've been rejected, full of people who've got such a low self-esteem about themselves, and full of fear. But the church is too. And if we're going to be an army, we need to get freedom from every kind of oppression too. Amen? He's calling us, training us, equipping us to be an army to bring good news. The gospel of the kingdom where Jesus reigns. And Jesus wants to break these chains out there, and he needs to break them in here. Amen. Hallelujah. He was anointed to proclaim the favor of the Lord, to replace the bad with good, to usher in more of heaven on earth, to bring in his will, which is already being done in heaven, here on earth, to know his favor and his blessing. And he was anointed to preach the good news to the poor. Physically poor, yes, but the spiritually poor, in fact, everybody. This is the commission. This is our gospel. His manifesto, my manifesto, your manifesto. And he wants to raise up an army. He doesn't want us to sit alone. He doesn't want to be sort of a cruise liner. He wants a battleship at LifeSpring, which is going to break every chain and set the captives free. Hallelujah. LifeSpring, there's an army rising up to break every chain. LifeSpring, it's time to arise and believe. It's time to realize through this journey, whatever journey you've come from, whatever part of Britain you've come from, whatever you've been through, he's been working through on that journey. And at this moment in time, he's called you to be part of this body here, which is going to turn into an army, which is going to break every chain.